This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We hope you enjoy our broadcast and invite you back every Sunday for worship with us.
Do you believe that God is in debt to you? If not, then why are there times that you are angry at God and feel that He is unfair? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're the one who enters into our hearts and causes us to realize our great need for you. Help us to understand, O God, that you are the giver of all things, and you are not in debt to us. Be with us as we listen to your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that God is in debt to you? If you answer no, then why are there times that you are angry at God? Or other times when you feel that He is so very, very unfair? That's what I'd like to talk to you about today, as I also examine my own life. Our text is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with the 9th verse. Now, I'm going to read this in two parts. The first part deals with the man who is the Pharisee. In verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a day, and I give a tenth of all that I have. That was the prayer of this Pharisee. He evidently loved to hear himself pray. He could say a lot of good things about himself, and it just made him feel good. Do you ever pray that way? Perhaps not. I don't know about my own prayer life as far as that is concerned, but this I do know, that sometimes I have thoughts like that Pharisee's prayer. I like to say that I'm not like all other men. And really, I'm not, because God has worked in me. God has worked in you if you're a committed Christian. And therefore, I can have a tendency to get a little bit, not a little bit sometimes, but very, very self-righteous. Oh, yeah. That's easy for us to do. When it comes to the life that we live, we do entertain such thoughts as this prayer contains. Let me tell you, I think I've said this to you before on Christian Crusaders, but it's a long time ago. I used to teach a ninth grade confirmation class, and the first sessions started, I think, at about 5 o'clock. Now, these kids had been in school all day long, and they were tired, and I was a little bit tired, so we had to get on track to make sure that we were going to get the most out of the time. I would try to find something early in the session that would catch their attention. And this particular night, I stood before the class and I reached out my arms and I said to them, look, you are looking at a very, very righteous man. You are looking at one who is better than most. This would begin to catch their attention. For I'm sure that some thought, who does he think he is? But then I'd go on to say, why? For example, I have one wife. I have only been married once. And I have a brother or a sister, whoever it might be, and they have been married 3 times and are now on the verge of another marriage. I am a person who goes to church every Sunday. I see to it that I get all of my people in the family there. We sit in the family pew like they say we ought to have. I know a lot of people who never enter the doors of a church. I'm better than that individual. And then there's my neighbor across the street. You know, he's a good man. There isn't anything that he wouldn't do for you. But he just got his second OMVI. I don't drink. For all practical purposes, I am a teetotaler. So I certainly am different and better than he is. And then there's another fellow right nearby who I love to talk to because he always has an interesting thought or two that he can leave me with. But on the other hand, I really don't like to talk with him because the man cannot open his mouth but what he uses profanity. Now, I don't do that. I don't swear. So you see, basically, I am a very, very righteous man. Very righteous. And the kids by this time are giggling, but I have caught their attention. They realize that it is very fictitious. Even though they don't know me very, very intimately, they understand that I can't be as good as I think that I really am. Well, I'm not perfect, I say to them in closing, but I am a lot better than many people. And that is exactly the attitude that that Pharisee had when he went up to the temple to pray and told God about all of his righteousness. Now, if I'm so righteous, doesn't God owe me one? Doesn't he owe me a few good things? And then I ask him just for one or two little things and I don't get them. I get angry at him. I pray for healing. I don't get it. I'm not a man who is not as righteous as I am. Gets it anyway. I think God is sometimes very, very unfair. Are the terrible, terrible thoughts that go through my mind. You know, so did some of the great biblical teachers, and I'm not trying to justify myself. But if you turn to the 17th Psalm, this is a Psalm of David, and this is what he is praying. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the words of your lips I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have been to your paths. My feet have not slipped. Keep me, O God, as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadows of your wings. From the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Rise up, O Lord, confront them, bring them down, rescue me from the wicked. And what's David doing? David is saying, well, you know, God, really I'm much more righteous than these people. Don't you think you owe me something? Just a little bit. You see, while we don't put ourselves in the same setting, we don't talk about going up to the church and standing in front of the altar and praying as did that Pharisee. We carry these thoughts in our hearts. They're in our minds when we're driving the car. Is that true? We don't want to admit it. But this text really speaks to many of us. We look not to other people to understand what righteousness really is. Sure, you can turn to your neighbors and build a real case for yourself. But when you want to look at righteousness, then you look into the law of God. And you can only come up with what the tax collector prayed. Let me read the second part of our text. But the tax collector stood at a distance, in some versions at the back of the temple. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I read you a part of one of David's Psalms. Let me read you a part of the 51st Psalm. Here is David after he has been crushed because of his sin against Bathsheba and Uriah. He comes into the presence of God and he cries out, have mercy O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And regarding David, the Lord said, your sin is forgiven. And here in our text for today, for everyone who humbles himself and comes with that confession, I am a sinner. I can be saved only by your grace. You don't owe me a single solitary thing, God. God says in our text today, that person will go home justified. For he who humbles himself will be exalted. Professor David Tiede of one of our Lutheran seminaries has said, this is one of Jesus' teaching parables. It shows how the reign of God's kingdom works. When you go out and try to find a real righteous person, you want to employ him for a high position. What do you look for? You don't look for a person who has a low self-image, not at all. Nor was this tax collector of a low self-image. Now, does it mean that the person is repentant and say that within me there dwelleth no good things, necessarily living with a self-image? Perhaps you are going to become the CEO of a very, very large company. What are the people looking for? They're first looking for talent. They want to know if you can do the job. Then they want to look for somebody with honesty. Can we trust them? They're looking for a person with a work ethic who will really put his all into this life. They're looking for a person who makes a good appearance and they're proud of to represent them in various other settings. They're looking for a person who has a great lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with any of these. But what God is looking for, friend, first and foremost, is that humble spirit who knows who he is, sinner saved by grace alone. God, be merciful to me. For as I challenge myself with that law that you have given to me, I know that I have fallen far short. And when that happens, then here is my Heavenly Father, through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Savior, who died for me at the cross of Calvary, crying out, Christ has borne your sins. You are forgiven. You are mine. That's the way that God builds the kingdom. The kingdom of God is built in an entirely way than any of our earthly kingdoms. The natural man, Professor Tiede says, does not have a clue as to how the kingdom of God works. You earn your way into the good graces of God, they would say. You are a good man and a good woman, and then he'll receive you. And as the scriptures tell us today, no. No, that's not it at all. I don't earn my way into the kingdom whatsoever. I turn to that merciful God, and I cry out with all my heart, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And all I can do is stand in the entrance of that kingdom, crying out, as we will conclude our program, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply To your cross I cling. As you come, he will forgive you. He owes you and me nothing, but we owe him our entire life. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, expounding on how great he is, and the other one a tax collector. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Don't you think that we need to let the Holy Spirit speak to us in his word, to bring us to our knees? That's not a low self-image. That is a mighty man, a mighty woman who knows what he or she is and cries out to God for his grace. These are the people who can run our churches and remain faithful to the Word of God. These are the people that will count when the chips are really down. These are the kind of people that we need sitting in the White House, in the governor's mansions, in the legislatures, and in the Congress of the United States. These are the kind of people we need in the business world. These are the kind of people that bind us together and make us his forever and ever. Amen. Father, how good it is that we have a Savior to whom we may come and to unload our sinfulness, that we can really be who we are. For so often our lives can be lived with a superficial note. Oh God, grant that as individual Christians and those of us who are a part of the church corporate, that congregation to which we belong, may cry out, O God, forgive us for drifting aside. Forgive us for making minor priorities the main thing of our structure. And grant that we may realize that the reason that we exist is to point people to a God, the God of grace, and the God who will say, I forgive. God, for those who live with burdened hearts, grant that this word might have spoken to them today, that as you say, all is well, as to the man who came confessing, so you say, all is well to us. All is well when we trust in Jesus Christ. God be with those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, the dying. And those of us who sometimes have that foolish idea that you owe us everything, rather plant within our soul, we owe you everything, for you gave your all for us. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We hope today's sermon will be a light to guide you in the coming week. If this ministry helps meet your spiritual needs, we pray you will consider a contribution to help us pay for radio time. This program provides an opportunity for worship for thousands of listeners each week, among them those who are unable to attend church. Some have chosen to give a gift of $74 to commemorate our 74th anniversary this fall. However, all donations are appreciated. You may direct your gift to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We thank all our faithful followers for their financial and prayerful support. Christian Crusaders has produced 5 gospel-centered messages on DVD video by Reverend Homer Larson. The 20-minute programs are appropriate for individual and small group study, are useful for church pulpit supply, and make great gifts. Please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to order. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.